Hello and welcome to the Big Happy Life podcast. I'm Natalie Britt and I'm a coach, trainer and hypnotherapist. I help business owning moms to manage their energy levels, mental health, physical health and emotional health so that life feels rewarding, fulfilling and enjoyable while we're living it, rather than pushing ourselves and striving until something clicks into place and we suddenly are miraculously happy. In this episode, I want to share with you my thoughts about continuous glucose monitors, or CGMs as they're often known. There's a lot of talk about them in social media at the moment. They're very popular right now, and I think with good reason, which is why I've titled this episode, Why Every Woman Over 40 Should Use a Continuous Glucose Monitor At Least Once. Even though my work is primarily about emotional health and mental health as a precursor to our efforts to drive physical health, productivity, and everything else that we want to do in our lives, I was amazed to find how much useful information is provided by a CGM in order to manage mood, energy, stress, and a whole host of menopause-related symptoms that we so often associate with the sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. But in my journey towards better health myself, what I discovered is that behind all of those members of the hormonal symphony is the conductor. And the conductor is insulin, which is why a continuous glucose monitor can help balance so many more things in our bodies and in our lives than just our blood sugar. So if you want more energy, less brain fog, less erratic moods, better sleep, and a whole host of other benefits, including aging at a slower rate, then a continuous glucose monitor is going to help you figure out how to make some changes that will get you those results. If that's what you're into, let's dive in. Okay, so I've said this a lot of times, but it's worth repeating. When I first started my journey towards improving my mental health and looking at ways to experience more stable moods, better emotional health, and as a result, better mental health, nearly all roads led me to lifestyle habits. Nearly all roads led me to gut health and physical health. And so that's really a lot of what led me down the rabbit hole that eventually is where I found continuous glucose monitors. And I have to say, in terms of habit change and giving me something that made it really, like, I mean, so easy for me to stick to the commitments I made in terms of what food I wanted to put into my body and what food I knew wasn't going to serve me, having a continuous glucose monitor made that entire process so easy for me. And remember, I am somebody who spent more than 2 decades battling an eating disorder. So food is not a simple thing for me, even now. It really isn't simple. I still don't do well when you say to me, okay, you can't eat this, you can eat that. I still really battle. It's enormously stressful for me, and it's something that I generally steer clear of as much as possible. When I was wearing the continuous glucose monitor, I found the numbers and the graphs and the information so directly impactful that it would be a situation where I'd be like, oh, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I normally have a biscuit now. But my blood sugar's up at 5.8 or 6.7 or whatever it would be at. And I would go, don't really want it to go up from here, so I'm not going to bother. And it wasn't like I was trying. It was just really, really simple. So in terms of, you know, if you are somebody who battles to stick to your commitments diet-wise, a CGM is potentially your way forward. What I would say, though, is be really mindful of what sets you off. So, like I say, as somebody who has spent a lot of my life, the majority of my life, battling an eating disorder, I think if you are somebody who struggles with an eating disorder, please, please think carefully before you go ahead. my experience may not be your experience. But yeah, it made a big difference for me. If you are somebody, though, who is just looking to stick to the diet commitments and the health commitments that you have held so dear but really struggled to stick to, this could be a game changer for you. So yeah, that's worth saying just out of the gate. But that's not why I say every woman over 40 could benefit from wearing one at least once. Now, when I say wearing it at least once, what I mean is, like, the one I used was the Dexcom G6. And the starter kit comes with three transmitters, and each of the transmitters works for 10 days. So the starter kit basically gives you 30 days of data. Now, when I say using a CGM at least once, what I mean is the starter kit, so 30 days. You could do 10 days, but I don't think that would give you enough of a pattern, enough of a trend or an opportunity to experiment either. So if you do decide to look into this, and I will put the link to the continuous glucose monitor that I use, as I say, it was the Dexcom G6. I'll put the link to that in the show notes page, but there are plenty of different monitors out there. So if you do decide to look into getting one, the key would be to get one that has some kind of kit that will allow you around 30 days. That's a good opportunity to do a lot of the experimentation that you would benefit from doing in order to understand your body better and make better choices in terms of lifestyle, so that then when you're not using it anymore, you can keep those lifestyle changes in place. Now, why I said a continuous glucose monitor would be beneficial for every woman over the age of 40 is because over the age of 40, our sex hormones begin to decline. So estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone all begin to decline. And for a lot of us, we experience quite wildly debilitating perimenopause symptoms, including brain fog, almost a type of amnesia. You start to think, you know, have I got early onset Alzheimer's? Like, what the hell is going on? We get hot flashes, we get mood swings, anxiety increases, and a large number of us experience bouts of depression that are unlike anything we've experienced prior to the start of our menopause journey. Now, unless you've done some digging into this area, the probability is that you'll think menopause is about estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. But what's less commonly understood is that those three hormones exist in a symphony of hormones. In fact, it's worth saying that every single thing that your body does is controlled by some hormone or chemical that's like a hormone or relies on a hormone for its creation. So literally, whether or not you're asleep or awake, whether you're stressed or relaxed, whether you are motivated or demotivated, depressed or happy, hungry or full, all of these things are hormone-based. And just like a symphony, if one of them is out of whack, it's heard across the symphony. None of the hormones act on their own. And if we continue the analogy of the symphony, insulin is one of the conductors. So when insulin is out of whack, the whole symphony is following an imbalanced conductor. And so that is why the CGM and the information it provides you can be so life-changing. Because if your insulin is out of whack, which happens when your blood sugar is going up and down and up and down and up and down all the time, you will knock so many other hormones off balance, including the sex hormones, but a load of other ones too, and put your body into such a state of stress that the likelihood is you will be experiencing other health conditions as well. And you'll almost certainly be struggling with cravings, mood swings, energy dips, and challenges with weight. Now, I'm not going to go into masses of detail around the hormones and the whole symphony, but what's useful to know is that the higher your blood sugar spikes, the more insulin your body releases. And insulin is a bit like a kind of overzealous, overshouty teacher. I don't know if you had one of those at school, like the teacher who, it didn't matter what you did, but they were always yelling and screaming and going on and making a drama out about something. And so most of the class just stopped paying attention to the teacher. Because I'm like, well, you know, like he's always shouting. He's always like that. So what difference does it make? Who cares? Whereas the more quiet teachers and the ones who treated you quite respectfully, if they were upset with you, you really paid attention because you're like, oh God, we must have done something really bad. So insulin is like the shouty teacher. And what basically happens is eventually the cells begin to shut down to their receptiveness towards insulin. We call that insulin resistance. So when your body starts to become resistant to insulin, then more insulin is needed for the same reaction. A bit like the shouty teacher. The more they shout, the more they have to shout. And so the body produces more and more insulin. At first, that does the trick. Again, a bit like the shouty teacher. They generally do get command of the class. But over time, the continuous going on and on and on and shouting and shouting and shouting, eventually the teacher just goes, do you know what? Fuck this. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm out. And they resign. And that's what happens as well with the pancreas, the organ that produces insulin, is eventually it gets so tired of overproducing and overproducing and overproducing that it stops producing insulin. And it's at that point that we have a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes. Now, the thing that not a lot of us are aware of is that as soon as we get into our 40s and we begin perimenopause, we naturally become more insulin resistant for a variety of reasons, and it's all to do with that whole symphony. And the reason that's important is because too much sugar in the blood is a bad thing for our health, but so is too much insulin. Now, what the CGM allows you to do is see the effect of the foods you eat on your blood sugar. And the reason it's so important, of course we know a cupcake is going to spike our blood sugar, but how much does it spike our blood sugar? And what happens if we eat a cupcake first thing in the morning versus last thing at night? What happens if we eat potatoes or pasta or rice or bread? What happens when we eat some of the health products we've been told are good for us? A slim fast meal, a protein bar, a bowl of oats, or some kind of meal supplement shake. These are all things that we, at various points, depending on the various diets that we might have looked at, will have at some point been told are good for us. But what are they doing to our blood sugar? And the answer is, it's different for different people. So what the CGM allows you to do is understand your own body and make choices based on exactly what it does, what it responds well to, and what it responds poorly to. Now, when we say responds well or responds poorly, what that effectively means in terms of looking at a continuous glucose monitor is the height of the glucose spike. Foods like cupcakes, white bread, pasta, biscuits, and all those kinds of things tend to give you a very big, high spike that then comes down really fast. And it does that because such a massive sugar spike in the body has alerted everything to go, wah, 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 danger. Send all the insulin you possibly can, as much as is needed to get rid of this amount of sugar, pump the cells with the stuff, and just get the sugar out of the blood. So it comes down really, really fast because your body has basically gone into some kind of emergency crisis mode. But the thing is, that amount of insulin is actually very difficult to gauge. So what usually happens is the body sends too much insulin because it's in crisis. And so the blood sugar plummets, often below baseline, and that's when you start to feel hungry or irritable, or your energy kind of bottoms out. And so you feel the need to eat again. And so for the majority of people who eat foods that spike blood sugar, they end up on this kind of roller coaster where they're often craving usually carb foods. So, you know, your breads, your pastas, your cakes and biscuits and so on, usually craving those types of foods, eat very regularly, often struggle with energy, often have erratic moods, bloating, and potentially other digestive issues. And so what the CGM allows you to do is see those spikes and go, oh, okay, my body doesn't handle this food particularly well. I need to make some changes to how I'm eating so that my blood sugar doesn't spike so much. And that either means taking the food out or making some changes to when and how you eat the food. And that's where experimentation comes in. So if you do decide to get a continuous glucose monitor, Somebody I would encourage you to follow online and get her books is Jessie Inchausper, also known as the Glucose Goddess. What she teaches is what she calls hacks that allow you to have the foods you like, but learn how to have them in such a way that they don't have the same negative effect on blood sugar. Her first book, The Glucose Goddess, explains a lot about insulin and blood sugar. I mean, really right down to molecular detail in such a accessible, easy to understand way that if you want to know more about this, I'd highly recommend you start there. If you're just looking for the hacks, I would jump to the Glucose Goddess Method, which has 4 hacks in a kind of 4-week program, including recipes that you can use that will help you implement the hacks. So that can be really, really helpful in experimenting with your glucose monitor. But the key thing is you want to understand, what does food do to my mood, to my energy, and to my body? Do I feel better or worse as a result of eating? And what's happened to my blood sugar simultaneously? On top of that, having a continuous glucose monitor for 30 days will help you understand whether or not you are on a road towards insulin resistance if you're not there already. This was something that was a real eye-opener for me. I'm not overweight. I wear size 8 to 10 UK clothing. I eat fairly healthily. I eat a lot of vegetables, a lot of salads. I eat good amounts of protein, but I also really like sweet food and I tend to have something sweet most days. Even then, not excessively. So if I have a biscuit, I do have one. But the thing is, I might go back 2 or 3 times in the day. So yeah, I've had, 3 biscuits over the course of the day, but arguably in terms of the amount of calories, that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. However, what I found with my continuous glucose monitor was that actually that was a really, really terrible thing to do, because what I was doing was repeatedly spiking my blood sugar. 1 biscuit at a time, up it goes, down it goes, up it goes, down it goes, up it goes, down it goes. And that is terrible for the body and terrible for my energy levels and terrible for my mood and terrible for all kinds of other things. But not only that, the repeated shouting of insulin meant that I was actually insulin resistant. So your fasting blood sugar, in other words, your blood sugar level when you wake up in the mornings, should ideally be below 5 millimole per liter. On the NHS guidelines, they'll say 5.5, but according to recent research, aiming for reading below 5 is actually safer and healthier and the optimal option to go for. When I first started using my CGM, my fasting blood sugar was 6.4. So I was well into pre-diabetic territory. Now, what was interesting was a week after I started wearing my CGM, I went and had a blood test and it came back as blood being normal. Yet in the 30 days that I had the CGM on and used it to make some changes, my mood improved, my energy levels improved, my sleep improved, my bloating went away. Like, I had so many positive results from using it. And now, having taken the knowledge that I got from that and implemented it over a longer period of time, I've lost a little bit of weight. My cravings aren't the way they used to be. My energy doesn't dip throughout the day. I can actually get to the point where I'm pretty okay with about 2 meals a day. And so what the CGM has done for me is it has helped me elevate my health game. It's helped me learn things about my body that will take me on the next step of my journey, giving me information about where to focus and what's right for my body, rather than just listening to, oh, this is good and that's bad and you should eat this food and you shouldn't eat that food, because it's different for different people's bodies. But nobody tells us that. And so we start to think there's something wrong with us because we follow a diet, but we end up with massive cravings. We end up with low mood and low energy. We get really tired and we're like, what the hell? And it may quite simply be that that particular set of foods for your body is doing all kinds of weird stuff to your blood sugar, to your insulin, and therefore to your other hormones. But once you're armed with your own numbers, you get to make better choices. Now, of course, you've got to know what the numbers mean and what to do with the readings from your continuous glucose monitor. Basically, how it works is every 5 minutes, it gives you a reading. And certainly with the Dexcom G6, it shows you whether your blood sugar is stable at that reading. In other words, in the next 5 minutes, it's likely to be the same reading, roughly, or whether it's trending upwards or whether it's trending downwards, or of course, whether it's spiking upwards or tanking downwards. But from there, you've got to start kind of engaging with information and experiments. And like I say, the best place to start is with the glucose goddess, because everything that she has is so well explained and also shows you how to use the graph. So if you follow her on Instagram at Glucose Goddess, you'll see the graphs and you'll also see some of the experiments she's conducted with regards to, you know, what happens if I eat this food at breakfast? What happens if I eat this food at dinner? What happens if I eat this food when I'm stressed? And what happens when I eat this food when I'm relaxed? What happens if I eat this food on its own? Or if I eat this food after a big plate of vegetables? And so on and so on. But these are the kinds of experiments that you can do as well. What happens if you exercise and then eat the food? What happens if you eat the food and then exercise? So as you begin to create little experiments for yourself, you begin to learn how to eat for your body. And ultimately, what I expect you'll notice if your experience is like mine is that some of the niggly things that have been bothering you for a while, like low energy or bloating or mood swings and so on, will improve in the 30 days of using the continuous glucose monitor. And when that changes, you start to see how much power you hold over your experience of life. I think for so many of us, for so long, we've thought about things like crashing energy or lack of willpower or feelings of laziness as though they are personality traits. None of us knew they were reactions to hormones. None of us knew. Or if there were people who knew, they kept it pretty bloody quiet. So now as this information comes to light, we can take advantage of it. And that's why I would recommend you give it a go. Now, a couple of things to know in advance of doing this. The first is, on day one of using the CGM, it's not 100% accurate. It takes about 24 hours to calibrate itself, and you also would benefit from calibrating it with an actual blood sugar monitor, because a CGM doesn't actually measure blood sugar. It measures what's called interstitial fluid, which is a good enough representation of blood sugar, but the machine is off and off, and I found with my Dexcom, only after I found this out, I was already 20 days in when I discovered that it wasn't always at the exact right reading. And so for the last 10 days, I was calibrating it with a blood sugar monitor, and that was far more helpful. So it is expensive. That's the downside. My Dexcom G6 starter kit was £159. And then if you're going to buy the blood sugar monitor on top, then that's around another £20 to £40. Now, something I haven't actually spoken about until now is the hardware itself of the CGM. So in case you're interested, with the Dexcom G6, and I assume with others it's very similar, the basic thing is it's a little transmitter and a kind of hair thin needle that the transmitter attaches to on a sticker. So it comes with an applicator gun, and it's very, very simple to use. You basically put the applicator gun against your skin and you press a button, and that inserts the needle and sticks the little sticker to your skin. Then you attach the transmitter to that and you switch it on. You pair it with your mobile phone. It takes about 5 hours to come online. And then once that's done, it takes pretty much a full 24 hours to calibrate properly. But as you've already heard, you can speed that up if you choose to manually calibrate it. The information you get from it can be life-changingly empowering. It could completely change your experience of perimenopause. It could completely change your experience of life if energy and mood, depression, anxiety are things that you struggle with and that turn out to be related to the foods that you're eating and the way your body's processing them. And so although it is, you know, a £200 upfront investment, if it completely changes so many things in life, it could really be worth the money. And what I find often with a lot of my clients is that much of the money that they spend in the month is spent on things that they buy because of the low mood or the low energy, the takeaway meals or the little treats that are supposed to help them feel better, those kinds of things. And so if those low moods and those dips in energy are no longer there, then the necessity for those purchases goes away too. And so in a roundabout way, the CGM can actually pay for itself by changing some of the purchasing decisions that we make because we are depleted. But by far the best benefit and the most value for money, certainly that I experienced, is just feeling better and beginning to have this connection with my body that helped me treat it with some kind of respect and understanding, a level of which I had not yet experienced. And so particularly as we begin the perimenopause journey, or depending on where you are in that journey, either, you know, late or maybe even postmenopausal, our bodies change so much and our health changes so much at this period of life. And if we don't understand what's happening to our blood sugar, we will send ourselves on a roller coaster that is really not fun to be on. And so I really hope this episode has sparked your curiosity and that you will take a look at potentially purchasing a CGM and finding out for yourself what it can do for your mood, your energy, your productivity, and just your general enjoyment of life. I'd absolutely love to know how you get on. So if you do get one, please do let me know. Email me, natalie@bighappylife.co.uk, or find me on LinkedIn under my name, Natalie Britt. You can find me on Facebook by my name as well. And you can find me on Instagram @big_happylife. If you found this episode useful, please do leave a review. And if you know anybody who would benefit from hearing about using continuous glucose monitors and about the hormone symphony, then please do share this with friends or family members who may benefit from hearing it too. And that way, more and more of us can begin to learn about the changes we need to make so that life just feels better and we feel better living it. And it would just be awesome if more and more of us just kept getting healthier and healthier because we're better informed about what we actually need. That's my hope, and I really do hope this episode has gone some way towards making that happen. So I'll leave it there. That's it from me. Thank you for listening.